Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what else up? Whew. Boy, I sure messed that up. Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Me and my co-host got our signs a little switched up tonight, but that's okay. We up and running.
Yo.
Just want to wish you. Yo, what's up? Just want to wish everybody a happy holiday. Hey, everything good, man. I was just doing a little intro, wishing everybody happy holidays. But, hey, man, how you doing, man? How was your weekend?
Chilling, bro. It was good. How was yours?
Oh, man, I went to a little birthday party Saturday. Sunday just chilled out a little bit. Got back on the grind Monday, man. But, you know, it's all good, man. So, let's jump into it, man. We're going to talk about the controversy from this weekend. I didn't watch the fight Saturday, but I went back and I watched it. I want to say I watched it Monday. I watched it Monday morning. Patty Pimblett. Now, Keys, I hope all sport that me and you love so much is not becoming boxing. There's no way he won that fight, bro. I could see if it was close, but it wasn't even close that he lost that fight. I saw your tweet, but I'm going to let you take off first on this one. What was your initial thoughts when you heard the decision, and do you think the fix was there?
Yeah, so my boy was texting me during the second round. I think it was like midway through the second round. He was like, they're about to rob him. He was like, they're about to rob him. I could feel it. He's like, the fix is in. Like, he's about to give him unanimous decision. I'm like, no way, bro. I was like, he's losing this fight clear as day. He's on his way to being down two rounds to zip, you know, versus Jared Gordon. And he was like, nah, bro. He's like, I can just feel the robbery is coming. He's like, UFC is turning into boxing. And I was like, no way, bro. It's not true. Not going to happen. And in the third round, we watched the third round. I felt like Jared Gordon won the third round pretty clearly as well. I had Jared Gordon winning that fight 30-27. I think if you had fair judging, it would have been 30-27 across the board. My boy was right on what he was saying, and it was a complete and utter robbery. This was the worst robbery I've ever seen in my time watching UFC ever. By far. Like, I can't even believe it. Like, some people thought, you know, Adesanya versus Whitaker 2 was a robbery. You know, people, you know, certain fights they feel like were robberies, you know, in the past couple years this year, but none of those are even close to how bad that was. Like, that was, I've never seen it. Like, some people thought, you know, Yoel Romero got robbed in his fight with Paulo Costa. You know, there was a lot of debate about that. There's certain fights out here that, like, there are close fights, you know, a lot of fights 3-2 either way or whatever, you know, 2-1 either way, you know, type of fights. But this was not one of those fights, man. I mean, I thought this should have been 30-27. I thought Jared Gordon won 10-9 every round very clearly and really an uncompetitive. I didn't think this was a competitive fight. You know, I really didn't think it was competitive at really any point. I didn't think it was competitive at all. I thought Jared Gordon looked far better than Patty Pimblett, and Patty really didn't show us anything. I mean, I didn't see anything from him that I thought he looked very bad. And I won't even go into saying I thought he looked bad, because that's the takeaway from Jared Gordon. I'm not going to do that, because that's not what it was. I think it wasn't. What I should say is I thought Gordon looked a lot better. That's what I would say. I just thought Jared Gordon looked like the better man on the night very clearly, and that was 1,000%, you know, one of the worst robberies. And for me, the worst robbery I've ever seen in UFC history. That was terrible. And it really – that right there is a bad mark on the sport. You know what I mean? That is a blemish on a major blemish on the sport in the UFC, and – that was really some boxing type shit, because that's the type of stuff I hear about from my boxing guys, and you tell me, you know, what goes down in the boxing game. That was 1,000% that type of thing. And I definitely think that the fix was in for Paddy Pimblett to win, because there's no way, no way that he won that fight. There is no way. No way.
And the funny part is, when I watched it, after I had read some of the tweets that came out, I tried to find a round to give Paddy. I was like, all right, let me see if there's a round I could give him. And there was no round that I even could, like, bring myself into saying, okay, maybe I'll give him this one. Nah, man, that dude lost that fight. And for all three judges to have it 29-28, a unanimous decision, I could see if it was a split decision, then, you know, I'll be like, all right, you know, maybe. But for it to be unanimous, it just smells fishy to me, man. And then for him to be so cocky after the fight, I was like, bruh, you really just got your ass whooped. I mean, the fight that I always bring up, that I always feel that I felt the judges got wrong, was Volkanovski-Ferguson 2. No, Volkanovski-Holloway 2. I always felt Holloway won that fight. That's the fight I go back to, but that was a close fight. That was a close fight. The second fight was the closest of the three fights. But, Keys, what does the UFC gain by, quote-unquote, fixing fights? Basically, you don't gain anything. Basically, you lose your audience's trust. Like, people, I'm a lifelong boxing fan. I just don't trust boxing. I think boxing has always been dirty. I think boxing is going to always be dirty, because I think in some kind of way, there are kind of mob ties connected to the sport of boxing. Some of the boxing fights you can watch and you'll be like, oh, man, nah, ain't no way this guy won. And then when they announce the card, you're like, hold up, he won? And then you look at his face and you look at the other guy, I'd be like, man, come on, man. But I just don't see what the UFC gained by having this guy go to 20-3. It ain't like he got a zero. I can see if he had a zero and y'all wanted him to keep an undefeated streak going. But for him to already have three losses and he only got, what, four fights in the UFC? Come on, man. That's just a bad look, man. Very bad look.
And, you know, I think what it is like, I'm going to be real. I'm less of a fan of – I don't even know if I'm a fan of Paddy after that, to be honest. I don't even know if I am a fan. I mean, I would say I'm much less of a fan if I'm a fan at all. I don't really know. I mean, it's going to – I don't know if I could say I'm a fan at this point. I don't know, because it just – it's – I lost a lot of respect for the guy. I don't think that's real. I mean, you go up there, you know, in the post-fight and then acting like – And in the Octagon interview, I don't know what he was saying, but, you know, like you said, where is this delusional? It was like this like false sense of confidence. He's up there saying, you know, the first two rounds weren't close at all. And it's like, yeah, they weren't close for you. You weren't close to winning them.
Yep.
What are you talking about? What are you saying? You're damn right they weren't close. You weren't close to winning them. You know what I mean? What? That's what you're saying, man. I know what you're saying, but it's the other way. You know what I mean? What are you talking about? What, like, you know, having the audacity to say, like, you know, what are y'all going on about? It's like, what are you going on about? You know, thinking that you were even in that fight. You weren't even in the fight. You look terrible. You know what I mean? You were getting boxed up like a bobblehead. You looked horrible. You know what I mean? It was like he was getting touched so much. I was like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, he got absolutely smoked in that fight. You know what I mean? So I don't know what, man, it was just, I think what it comes down to is, to answer your question there, is I think it was just that, like, he doesn't have the official O, like the overall MMA, pro MMA O, you know. He's not a 20-0 fighter, but he has the O in the UFC. And I think that's what they deserve. I think they're trying to keep him undefeated in the UFC and say, you know, oh, he's 5-0 in the UFC, you know, 10-0 in the UFC, pretty much I mean, look at the way they're able to – I'm not saying these are the same guy. They're not, but look at the way they're able to market Israel Adesanya, and they still are because they – first, they were able to say, all right, he's undefeated as a pro, and then they're able to say, okay, he's, you know, 10-0 in the UFC middleweight division. And then even when he went up to fight Blachowicz and he lost, they still kind of put a Band-Aid on that by being able to just say he's undefeated at middleweight instead of saying – you know, he's 12-1 in the UFC. You know, they wouldn't say that. They would just say, well, he's, you know, 12-0 at middleweight. You know, so they just would kind of like shy away from even mentioning that loss. That's pretty much what they did with that, which is understandable. But you can't, you know, now he has. So that's besides the point. But what I'm saying is that Paddy Pimblett, I think they just want to keep him undefeated in the UFC. You know, they just want to be able to kind of do that thing, like, and say, you know, his UFC record. And I just don't think it's a good way to go about that by putting on these robberies, man. I don't think, and really it's not, to an extent, you could even say it's not the UFC's fault, because really the ones that, I mean, it is, but it isn't, because the ones who really put on that robbery, it was the judges, and the judges aren't UFC. Those are state commission judges. So really it's like, you know, it comes down to whether you think that the UFC is involved with the state commission. You know what I mean? It depends whether you think, you know, Dana White has a hand in who those judges are from the state commission. I guess it comes down to whether you think that, you know, because it's really not. I think that it would be, some people would say it wouldn't, but I think it possibly would be better if you had the UFC select their own panel of judges and you only had fighters, you know what I mean? I personally think if you had some of your legends up there, judge, I think that would be better, you know what I mean? I think if you have, you know, DC up there being on a panel, you know, you have a Forrest Griffin being up there, like guys like that that like been watching these fights forever, you know what I mean? Have Paul Felder up there, like get guys that have been in both sides of it. You know, and are still, you know, and some of them are still in both sides. Get those dudes. You know, I think that would be better than having these other dudes from the state commission doing it, because clearly it's not working. But either way, neither here nor there. I definitely think that there was some suspectness with that judging, and he got absolutely smoked, man. He got absolutely smoked. That was terrible. And I thought that, you know, before I was like, okay, this guy can beat Ilya Topuria. You know, I thought that. But after seeing him get boxed up that bad by Jared Gordon, oh my goodness gracious, Topuria will kill that man. Oof. Yo, I hope you should hope he doesn't have to fight that dude. Oh my goodness. That dude, Topuria, he's a bad man, man. Topuria is, he's solid, bro. He really, that dude is tough. And I guarantee you the UFC keeps him far away from Ilya Topuria, man. I know they have a beef, but they're not going to make that fight. You think they're going to make that fight?
I think the only way they make that fight is if Paddy asks for it. But I don't think they make that fight if Topuria asks for it. I think they're going to keep Paddy away from him as long as they can. Hey, I just – sometimes, bro – you know, you just got to take the win and keep it moving. But, you know, I think they're going to keep him away from him, man. I think they're going to do Paddy like they did Sean O'Malley. I think they're going to slow walk him. They'll probably give him a lot of tuna cans at first. And then probably by fifth fight, probably. Actually, they should be moving him up now because, his fifth fight in the UFC? So, yeah, I'd probably say they give him about two more stiffs, and then they'll probably start giving him some competition. But, hey, man, let's talk about this real quick. You know, the main event was a draw. Did you feel like it was a draw, or did you think there was a winner?
So I'm going to say this. I was looking at one of the scorecards the other day, and I do understand, like, once it was broken down, I get how, because it was one, I believe one judge had Blachowicz win, and one had Ankalaev, and then there was one that had it a draw. I think it was 47-47, and
yep,
that was the one that decided it. And when they broke down the rounds of how, they actually did what you've been calling for on this show, like having each scorecard broken down. They actually showed that after that fight. They showed like a detailed breakdown of each judge's scorecard. And that's something that we've been asking for. Like, I think they should be doing that every big fight. Every title fight, you should have to do that. You might even ask for that for every fight, you know, at some point. At least have to show, the official scorecards. And maybe, you know, in between the promos and stuff, have the judges explain how they scored the round. You know, give them each 1 minute, you know, during that break time. Give each judge 60 seconds to break down their rounds, you know. And if you're very confident in it, it shouldn't take you more than a minute to even break that down. You know, it should be very – you could say, judge this on this, et cetera, judge this on this, et cetera, and this. I felt like this was more, you know, impactful. This was the biggest moment of the round. You should be able to get that out very easily if it's truthful, you know, and if it was, you know, how you really felt. You should be able to get it off easy. You know, the truth is always easier to give out than lies. You know what I mean? Lies are always harder to get out because you're not consistent. You're not all in on what you're saying. You know, it's a shaky story. So if we want realness and transparency, I think that's how you go about doing that. But did I think there was a winner? I did. I want to say I would have to watch the fight again, but I want to say on one watch I did have a winner. But at the same time, this is how I put it. I do think there was a winner. I do think there was a winner, but I don't think either man looked like the champion. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I can get with that. Yeah, I can get with that.
That's what I would say. I don't think either man, because like there's certain title fights where you're like, that dude's the champion, you know? You can just see it. It's like, all right, these two guys fight. Sometimes there's a finish. You know, you get like a Brandon Moreno finish in Figueiredo when they fought the second time. It was like, yo, he's the champion. You know, he looked incredible in that fight, right? And it was like, all right, he's the champion. Like, that's like a more solid way. Like, he left no doubt. You know what I mean? He beat that dude up on the feet and then choked him out like a chicken, you know, I think the second round in the second fight. But then there's other fights where it's like, okay, Adesanya versus Whitaker 2. When I look at that, I think Rob Whitaker looks like the champion out of those two. That's kind of how it comes down. It's like, and people had that fight 3-2 either way, by the way. That was a very close fight. That rematch was a very close rematch. And I want to say most scorecards that I saw had a 3-2 either way with that Adesanya-Whitaker 2 fight. And what I would also say is that I thought Whitaker looked like the champion out of those two guys. If you asked me who's the champion and I didn't know who is currently the champion and I didn't know either guy, I think I would tell you, you know, the dude in the – I don't remember what color shorts he had, actually. I won't front. But I think I would have pointed out Whitaker. I think he looked like the champion, you know, with no contest. But if you're telling me about Blachowicz versus Ankalaev, I could not tell you who was the champion. I would say I don't think either one is the champion. I might not have even thought that was a title fight. It's really, like, if you really, I don't think I would have thought that was a title fight. If you didn't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have thought there was a belt on the line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you, man, because I was watching that fight, and I was like, damn, would I want either one of these guys to be the champ? I mean, I know Jan, he's been the champ before. The way these two guys are fighting, I mean, would I want to get behind any one of these guys? I did thought Ankalaev had won the fight. I thought he was more active. I thought he was the one pushing the pace. He had more ground control. But like you said, just because you got a winner, just because I have a winner, it don't mean that I feel like that person should be the champ. It's like, if you fighting in a, for a belt, even though it was an interim belt. Well, no, this would have been the main belt. Well, no interim title. So this would have been the belt. So, but yeah, with you, man. Azar, I really wasn't mad about it, because I think I would have probably been more disappointed that you gave that to somebody that didn't put on a dominating performance, or a performance that I didn't feel was championship worthy. But the UFC once again steps up to the plate, and they announced Jamal Hill versus Glover Teixeira for the light heavyweight title fight. Now, I think the winner of this fight is going to be the recognized champion. I just hope it ain't a draw. I think both guys will come in fighting. They saw this fight, and they know what they have to do. So, how do you feel about our boy, Hill, taking on Glover for the light heavyweight championship? Yeah, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I think, man, first of all, I was asking for this, bro. I mean, I was definitely surprised. I was definitely like, wait a second. Like, because it was, I don't know if it was that same night or if it was the next morning that I got that news.
Came out Sunday.
I think it was next morning when I woke up. I saw that and I was like, yo, like, this is wild. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going right to another, vacant title fight with two separate guys. But I get it, though. I get it from a business standpoint and from just wanting to have a champion in your division. I totally get it. I mean, if you look at it, the light heavyweight division has been a kind of a circus for the, pretty much since Jon Jones, and y'all know I'm not a fan of Jon Jones. I don't often have much good to say about him, but I'll say ever since he vacated the belt, the division really hasn't been figured out. I mean, you have, like, contenders, but the belt's just been, like, there hasn't been, like, a solidified change. Because it was – Bukovic was there, but he had one title defense, and then he lost the second title defense, and it was just, like, every championship moment was short-lived, you know? You had, Bukovic and Reyes fought for the vacant belt. You know, Bukovic wins the belt, defends against Adesanya, then second up the title defense, loses to Glover, and Glover loses the belt to Samurai Jack in his first title defense. And then, him and Samurai Jack are supposed to rematch in December. He hurts the shoulder, vacates the belt again, and then Glover doesn't fight for the belt. Now it's Bukovic and Ankalaev. They fight. They have, kind of a snooze of a fight overall that didn't even look like a title fight. And then it's a draw, so there's still no champion. And then now they're going to move it to another vacant title fight in January. It's like, when you really break down all that mess, like, when have we had, like, that's the light heavyweight champion? Like, it just, it hasn't really, every moment has been short-lived, you know? Every moment's been short. Bukovic was there, but it's, like, not for really not that long. I mean, his time as champ was not long. You lose the belt after one defense. And that's not to knock him. He still did his thing. You know, winning a UFC title is very difficult. But it's been short-lived. You know, you really haven't had who's the solidified champion? You know what I mean? These guys are winning and then losing and then winning and then getting hurt and then winning and vacating. They vacate and they fight. Then it's a draw. Now it's vacant again. And now they're going to fight with two different guys. It's like, what the hell is going on, man? This division is wild, you know? So that was kind of the thought that I came to once I really thought about it. Like, damn, okay, we're going to get another vacant title fight. But I am happy, regardless of all that, that it's my boy that's in the fight, man. I'm glad it's Jamal Hill. I was just telling y'all, a month ago, whenever it was, and I broke it down of why I think he should have been in this fight that we just saw. You know, I thought he should have been, but he wasn't. All good. You know, better late than never. And now he's getting the shot at the title. So, I'm glad he's in there. And I think, getting him in the fight, regardless of who, Glover's in there, but regardless of that, like, just getting Jamal Hill in the title fight, I think was the right move from the beginning. And I think if he was in this one, you know, we wouldn't have had, you know, you would have had a better fight, and I'm just glad to see it happen. So shout out my boy, man.
Yeah, man. I was kind of shocked the UFC had such a quick turnaround on that one. That, you know, they didn't even wait 24 hours, man. It was like the very next morning. Hey, Jamal Hill versus Teixeira added to title belt in January. Whoa. All right. I'm with it, but, man, y'all was quick on that one. But, you know, man, it's like it's just one of those divisions that when you look at it, it's like who in that division is going to take over. You know, I thought it might have been Anthony Smith, being that he gave John a tough fight. And then I thought it would be Dominique Reyes because he gave John a tough fight. Well, actually, Anthony Smith didn't give John a tough fight. He got broke down. Thiago Santos, he gave John a tough fight, but he can't seem to win. So I like the Jamal Hill versus Glover Teixeira. I like that. And, you know, it's – hey, you got to blame it on Blachowicz and Ankalaev. Y'all made this an easy decision for the UFC because neither one of y'all grabbed the bull by the horns and said, hey, I'm walking out of here the champ. So, man, I can't wait to see Jamal Hill. If I want to see whether or not the light's going to be too bright for him, is the moment going to be too big for him, going against a seasoned veteran like Glover. So, yeah, I know we're going to talk about this as we get closer to that fight. Anything else stick out to you from Saturday, man, from 282?
I'll say this. I mean, let me look. Hold on. You know what? Let me look up the card and just see, because I don't even really remember right now who was even on that card, man. Who did we see fight? Let me go back. 2 seconds. So, yeah, Pat. So Jared Gordon got completely robbed. That was terrible. Ponzinibbio and Morono. Actually, yo, Morono put up a fight. That's something that I want to point out, man. Alex Morono really surprised me, man. They fought at 180 at a catchweight, and it's kind of funny because this 180 division seems like it's becoming a thing here. How many 180 fights have we watched in the past couple months? I mean, really. But either way, Morono, he looked really good for a guy that came in on like 5 days' notice, was it? He looked really good, man. Like, he definitely looked out of shape to me. He did not look in fight shape. You could tell Ponzinibbio was in better shape, but even consider, and he stopped Morono, you know, that was probably a big part of it, but and the fight wasn't spectacular. It was decent, but it wasn't spectacular. But either way, Morono still, like, just objectively, like, on 5 days' notice, man, he did his thing in there. Even on a KO loss, he did his thing, bro. I will point that out. You know, Darren Till, I don't know what to say for Darren Till, man. Darren Till, I don't know, man. He looked really bad. I mean, I see people on Twitter suggesting that he should move back down to welterweight. I think I might have to agree with that because middleweight, man, he really – I mean, people talk about he was his Whitaker fight, but I don't know. I think he should move back down. I mean, I feel like his best moments were at 170, and he got completely dominated versus Duplessis, man. I don't even think this guy is good, this Duplessis guy. I'm really not impressed, but that's kind of sad to me that he lost. I feel like that was his fight to win, and he just got ragdolled, man. So I think Phil go back to 170. And then Teporia, you know, still undefeated. He beat the brakes off Bryce Mitchell. I was kind of shocked by that. I think Teporia, I think he's a legit guy at featherweight, man. Teporia's a threat, bro. That guy's tough. I mean, I'm not going to jump to conclusions, talk about, you know, a title fight. I'm not going to do none of that, but I'm going to just say he's much more legit than I really thought. You know, I wasn't a believer in him up until this fight. You know, the way he beat up Bryce Mitchell, I am shocked. I thought Bryce Mitchell would have beat Teporia in the wrestling department, but Teporia pretty much beat him in the wrestling. He beat him in the striking, and he choked him out, and that was crazy. So that might be the biggest thing right there, man. I mean, any of those that you really feel, you know, some type of way about, let me know. But I think my big point of this event is Taporia is a beast, man. I think that's probably my biggest takeaway from this event. Taporia
yeah,
is a beast.
I'm kind of with you. I'm looking at the funny part about this card is the main and the co-main was the only ones that went to the judges' scorecard. All the other fights were finishes. So that's kind of weird. And then one of the fights had a controversial. You know, both of them was controversial. You really look at it. You had a draw, and then you had a guy that definitely should have lost. So, but I'm going to go with you, man. Duplessis, I can't believe Darren Till is super buddies with Khamzat, but his wrestling has not improved. I know they train together, but, hey, Duplessis done his thing, man. He got in there. You know, he was very patient. He looked good. Darren Till, you know, normally we would probably try to blame it on Ring Rust, but Ring Rust ain't a thing, man. These guys train too much, you know, man. They go to other gyms to train. So there's no such thing as Ring Rust. He just lost. Ponzinibbio, good showing, but I think I was more impressed with Morano. I thought Morano came out and showed a lot of heart, especially for a guy taking the fight on short release, on short notice. So, yeah, man, hats off to Morano. But this card really wasn't nothing really to brag about. Like we had talked about when we didn't even break this one down. But, you know, everybody loves finishes. So if you love finishes, then this card was your cup of tea. I guess my performance of the night would have to be Jared Gordon, even though he ain't win. Performance of the night, I'll probably give it to Poirier. I don't even know who I'll give fight of the night to. I don't even know. Maybe to the main event. No, I can't give it to the main event because there was no winner. That was a draw. So I don't even know who I would give fight of the night. But, you know, it was a so-so card. But being that it was a so-so card, you had a lot of people getting knocked out and getting submitted. So if you like action, this is your type of card.
Yeah, now I want to ask you about this, bro. So that card overall, I'd probably rate it like a 5 out of 10. I watched the top 7 fights. I'd probably give it a firm 5 out of 10, maybe 6. But I think a 5 is more suited. I really didn't – the card didn't really do much for me. But, yeah, we got 283. We'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. We got like a month or so before that anyway. So we'll be talking about that. And, you know, they just added a title fight, so – yeah, we'll get to it eventually. That card, it looks a little bit better. My big one that I'm looking at is February, though. I think that February card's a banger. You know, we're going to get to see Islam and Volkanovski on that one. We're going to get to see a bunch of good fights. February is the real banger, man. But one thing I want to point out to you is, did you get to see Bobby Green? Because Bobby Green is actually fighting, I think, on this weekend's card. And yeah. I happened to watch probably like 5-6 minutes of some of his stuff from Media Day today, and I that's why I shot you the video a little bit earlier. Did you get to watch any of it?
Yeah, I got to watch it.
He's fighting. I forget who he's fighting this weekend, but it's a banger though. Fighting somebody that. Who's he fighting?
Drew Dober.
Didn't he already fight Drew Dober?
Not that I know of.
Who am I thinking of? I thought he already fought. Because when I saw that, I was like, nah, that would be a rematch. He's not fighting. That's a beat. That's a great fight, though. So I'm going to have to probably try. I think I'm going to have to tune into UFC this weekend, man. I thought I wasn't going to, but I might have to, man. And I've been putting a couple bucks out there, too, with bets. I've been putting a couple bets out there, you know, nothing crazy, but I've been putting some stuff out there just to have a little bit of fun with these fights, so. Past two cards, I put a couple bucks down just to add a little bit of excitement to the card, and it's been pretty fun. And that one right there is something, you know, I was thinking about not watching this weekend's card, but when I saw Bobby Green's interview earlier, I'm like, oh, damn, his fight's on this weekend. I'm going to have to tune into that, bro. I think I'm going to have to. Him and Drew Dober, that sounds like a fight of the night. What do you think?
I like the fight. Looking at the rest of the card, I don't know why this fight isn't further up. Looking at the fight placement, this is the second fight on the main card. I think I would have moved it up, man. I mean, I know that the two guys in the co-main event, you're trying to push them to stars. But yeah, I probably would have moved this fight up to the right before the co-main event. So I like this fight. You know, I'm a big Bobby Green fan. You know, he back after suspension. So, you know, he owned up to it. You know, he always good on the mic, man. He done definitely got good on the microphone. But one thing about Bobby, though, like me and you talked about Angela Hill, is sometimes he get the wrong end of the judge's scorecard. So, you know, I have been advocating for him to come out fast. So I know he like to counterpunch and do all that stuff, but I think when you get the short end of the judge's scorecard, you have to fight towards making yourself be more explosive on the judge's scorecard, and that means by being more active and going first. Let me see. They got my boy Bruce Leroy up here. Co-main event. That look okay. I don't even know who these guys are that's fighting before that. Who we got on the prelims? We got Darren Wynn on the prelims. Manil Capey. You know, he just came up. I really don't know most of these people on the prelims. So, normally, and Keys can attest to this, some of these cards where it's a lot of no names, these be cards that end up, you be like, man, this card was a banger. So this card might be one of those ones when you're looking at it on paper and you like, I don't know. But then when you get to watching it, you're like, man, this one was a good one. So hopefully this one is a good one.
Yeah, I was watching Bobby Green a little bit earlier, and he was basically – he didn't straight up say it, but he was alluding to the fact that he got a tainted supplement. That's what he was alluding to that, because he was like, I didn't know that, you know, I couldn't get – he was like – because when he started the media scrum, he was like, I just want to first of all say, you know, he said something like, you know, I'm not out here doing drugs or anything like that. Like, I wasn't willingly taking anything, you know. And he's like, I just didn't know that I couldn't shop at GNC. He's like, I got to look out, you know, I got to make sure I don't shop at GNC anymore. I didn't know that, you know, a product that I could get on the shelf at a Walmart could be, or a product that, you know, a kid could buy off the shelf at a Walmart would be tainted with something, and that I could end up in this situation. That's pretty much what he's saying in the first few minutes of that media scrum. And, you know,
well, how many times we hear that, though? How many times do we hear somebody say, I bought something over the counter and it was tainted, or I didn't know I couldn't use it? We hear that a lot from a lot of people that say they buy stuff over the counter. Don't buy stuff over the counter. How your team supply you with your nutrients and your stuff like that, you know, far as, you know, for your body. Just don't arbitrarily go buy something. We hear that a lot.
Yeah. So you saying that it's bogus, or you saying that it's that they should be, fighters should be a bit more, you know, selective with where they're going to get, you know, that these
I'm not going to say it's bogus, But I know we hear this a lot after people test positive. You know, they say that, you know, they bought something over the counter and, you know, they didn't know it was tainted or I didn't know it had that in it. But at the same time, is you still responsible for what goes in your body. And that's why you got people on your team that's supposed to do that kind of stuff for you.
Yeah, I mean, it is. We've been seeing this, you know, the past couple of years, too. A lot of fighters getting, you know, 1 year suspension, 3 year suspension, you know, 3 years because they, you know, had, you know, they tested positive for a banned substance. And then a lot of times you hear, like, they didn't know that that substance was banned or they didn't know that they took it and stuff like that. So I definitely get what you're saying on that. I mean, aside from it, you know, overall, I don't think Bobby Green would be trying to take anything willingly. I mean, yeah, definitely he should be. I mean, I like where his head is at. You know, saying that, okay, he's basically saying, all right, I need to be careful. But yeah, you definitely need to be more careful. I just don't think. Yeah, I definitely don't think that. I mean, because he made it. I mean, the way he was talking, he made it sound like that he's been catching a lot of, you know, he's been catching a lot of hate for in a lot of, you know, accusations. It seems like he's probably been hearing a lot from people, you know, claiming, you know, he's a cheater and stuff like that. Because at one point in the scrum, he was like, I'm no TJ, you know. And that's – so clearly, I mean, that's probably tough for a guy that knows he's, you know, doing this legitimate and, you know, he's a clean fighter and he's always showing up and putting the right things in his body, and he knows he's not cheating and going the legitimate way. It probably sucks to have people trying to accuse you of shit online, and I'm sure he's getting a lot of hate, you know, because of this situation.
But you know, I do got a little beef with Bobby Green. I follow him on Instagram, and he was talking about our boy Kevin Harlan. He was like, man, he a quitter. He didn't even get off the stool, la, 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 la. And, you know, that fight that Kevin Harlan had was probably, that's up for fight of the year against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But the thing was he had fought, I want to say, two rounds with a broken right hand that they couldn't even throw. And it was like, bro, the dude fought with a broken right hand. Now Bobby Green DM me back and was like, I fought fights with a broken hand. And I didn't reply, but I was going to say, like, every fighter ain't built the same. You know, every fighter, you know, don't go about fighting the same way. You know, and I was like, bro, man, I don't know if now he got some kind of beef with Kevin Harlan or whatever. But I just didn't like what he said about the man. But, you know, man, fighters are entitled to their opinion just like fans are. But I don't know, man. Maybe on these guys, maybe they got some kind of beef that I don't know about. But I haven't seen anything with them not being, like, cordial with each other. So I was just shocked that Bobby Green would come out and say something like that. I thought that was, like, kind of out of character for him.
So are you saying that you shot him a DM? Or are you saying that him and Kevin Holland, they posted DMs of their back and forth?
No, I shot him a DM because he put something on his Instagram story, and I saw it, and I replied to the story like, yo, man, the man had a broken right hand. Then he replied back to me like, I fought plenty of times with, you know what, I ain't even got the guess. Instagram.
I mean, I think that's fire that he replied back to you in the first place, though. I think that was dope.
All right. He had said something about Kevin Harlan, and I replied back. I was like, damn, bro. They say he broke his right hand. He came back and said, I fought five fights with a broke hand. I mean, I ain't want to come back and be, like, questioning him or nothing like that, but maybe that's why you got the short end of the judges' scorecard or some of those fights. because you went and fought with a broken hand. So, but you know, man, I just let it slide. You know, all fighters ain't built the same. So, you know, I just let it ride.
I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I get what you're saying. Yeah, and it is. Like, some guys, you know, when I want to say when Anthony Pettis was fighting Tony Ferguson a couple of years back, he broke his hand, you know, off Tony's head or whatever. And I think that was I'm pretty sure that was the reason why Pettis' corner threw in the towel in that fight. I'm pretty sure it was the broken hand because he wanted to – I think he actually wanted to keep fighting too. I think he did. I think he broke it early in the fight. Off Tony's head, and then I think he kept going, fighting with a broken hand. And I think they probably started to notice it, or he went back to the corner at some point, and I think they kind of, I feel like they might have made the decision for him. I can't say, you know, for sure, but that's what it kind of. So I'm pretty sure Pettis knew about it, and he was still fighting with it, and then I think his corner threw in the towel. But yeah, some guys, it's, you know, they're not built like that. Bobby Green's He's a savage man. You know, I'm not surprised that I'm kind of not surprised that he said that in a way. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I know why he. I can believe that he, you know, was out. I didn't know at the time that he was fighting with a broken hand, but I'm sure it's happened. The dude throws a lot, then lands a lot of strikes per fight. And I'm sure that's happened to him a few times, but he seems like he's a savage though. You know, shout out to him.
Yeah, man. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everybody deal with injuries differently. You know, maybe, you know, if you break your hand and you can wrestle, that give you another out. You know, you got another way of staying in the fight by taking somebody down. So, you know, man, I just, when I was replying, I was just kind of like in a little spot where I was like, damn, bro, you got to have some kind of empathy for the man. But, you know, fighters are fighters. So, but word came out, Keys, that Leon Edwards is looking for a fight. Kamaru Usman had surgery on his hand. And the name that's being floated around, I'm going to make Keys really, really upset, but I'm quite sure he already know this. As a guy that hasn't won a fight in almost 3 years, came up with the term of three-piece and a biscuit. And, yeah, they are talking about maybe Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal. Now, if this fight does happen, this fight tells me everything I need to know about the UFC rankings and about wins and losses. If they make this fight, only way I see them making this fight is if Leon Edwards demands this fight. And I don't see him demanding this fight because he's been trying to fight Jorge Masvidal since that backstage incident. And it never happened. So now that he's a champ, now y'all want to make it happen. That just sounds kind of shady to me. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to end up either fighting Colby Covington or Bilal Muhammad for the belt. I think that's the way it's going to go. What are your thoughts on Leon Edwards' next fight, being that Usman would not be able to go?
I mean, it's funny we're talking about broken hands with guys, and Usman has a broken hand as well. I mean, that kind of sucks, though, that he – I feel like he broke his hand before. Didn't he break his hand the last time? Wasn't his hand broken before the Leon rematch? Wasn't that why we had to wait? Was because he was healing his hands? Did that happen before? Or am I having like deja vu or something? I swear his hand was already broken last year.
I'm trying to think.
I thought that's why we had to wait a little bit because Usman didn't. Did Usman fight? I don't even know, man. I thought he broke his hand. Who did he fight before that? I'm trying to remember it, man. Did he fight Burns? Was that who he fought in 2022? Who did he fight? I don't remember, but I thought he broke his hand in the previous fight. It might have been Kobe. I think that was the last time. I think the Covington rematch was late 2021, and then I want to say we didn't see him fight again.
I think it was the Kobe Covington fight.
And I think he broke his hand in that fight. So
yeah.
I thought that's why we waited. It was like 8 months between that one and the Leon rematch, which that's okay. And his hand was broken, and then he fought him, and then he broke his hand again. It's like, damn, bro, we gotta figure this out, man. Uzi's hands are just breaking, man. We gotta do something, man. We gotta wrap his hands better or something. We gotta figure this out because he's breaking his hand every fight, man.
Gotta start drinking that whole milk.
Stop? Or are you saying start?
Huh?
You saying he should drink the whole milk or don't drink it?
Yeah, he needs to start drinking whole milk, man. Build that calcium up.
Oh, he's saying he needs to start drinking it.
Yeah.
All right, I feel you. I feel you. I mean, yeah, I don't know. You got to do something, man. I mean, I drink almond milk myself, and they say it has 50% more calcium. I'll put that out there. But, hey, I don't really care what he does. But we got to figure something out for the boy because, I mean, first of all, he's a champion to me, and I think he beats Leon in the trilogy fight. And I was hoping to see that happen in March, so I am a little bit bummed out. I'm not going to lie to you that he's not going to be – you know, he's going to get the trilogy fight. It's just not going to be in March. I'm a little bit bummed out. And I know I was calling for – who was I calling for? It was Hamza. I was calling for Hamza to fight Pereira. I was fighting for Pereira and Hamza at middleweight. I wasn't saying – so because some people are saying Leon and Hamza – should be the fight instead, which whatever. But as long as Usman gets his rematch with Leon, you know, because I think he's gonna beat him down. What do you think? What do you think's gonna happen, man?
I think Leon got lucky in the first fight because he was getting dominated. I don't think he gets lucky in the second fight. I think Usman learns from the first fight, and I think he puts on the show. Like he did in the rematch with Masvidal. I think it'll be lights out time for Leon Edwards in this fight. And I think you'll see Usman wrestle a little more in this fight. Because Leon Edwards, he wants to stand and bang with you, use, you know, the elbows, the kicks, the distance. But I think Usman smothers him, takes him down, ground and pound. It's over. I just don't see Leon getting lucky twice. But if you look at it, look at all the fighters in the top five. You got Kobe, Hamza, who I don't think can make, what's that, 170? I don't think he can make 170. You got Bilal Muhammad, who Leon Edwards fought, and they had to stop the fight due to a poke in the eye. And then you got Gilbert Burns at number five, man. There's some fights there for him, but if they try to get him to fight on that England card, damn, I hate to say this. I think you will bring the whole country of England out if you pit him against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I think every Brit that's a UFC fan will come out and watch that fight. So, but once again, if you do that, that renders the rankings mute. So you can't do that. I mean, you can do it, but you shouldn't do it. So I don't know how you sell Wonderboy as being in a title fight when there are four or five guys ranked ahead of him. So, but yeah, man, I like Usman in the rematch in dominant fashion.
Yeah, I think Usman's a much better fighter, man. And it's surprising that you see a lot of Leon fans saying that it's going to be different in London and all this stuff. And it's like, man, how is it going to be? I know he took Usman down in that fight, which I am kind of skeptical about. I'm confused as to how, like, Kobe Covington hardly been able to take Usman down. I think he might have one takedown on Usman. I don't even know if he has one. But Leon was able to take Usman. Like, I'm kind of confused as to how that works out. But so we'll have to someone got to give me some guidance on how that happened. But besides that, is I heard Usman dominated him in that fight. I still actually have to watch that fight. I haven't watched it, but from what I've been told, Usman won all five rounds. I mean, obviously he got knocked out in the fifth, but he was up 4-0 to what people were saying. And, you know, he was cruising to another title defense right there. So I just don't see how Leon can evolve and become better. People want to talk about his striking. It's like, Leon's always been a high-level striker. What are we doing here? He's always had, you know, someone was showing a video of him hitting pads the other day, and they're like, oh, it's over for Usman. He's never getting the belt back. And it's like, bro, you think that's going to stop Usman? Are you crazy? They're showing videos of Leon hitting pads, like, in his speed. Like, you're making it like this is a brand-new thing. You think he just got hands yesterday? Leon's been had hands, bro. I don't know how else to put this to you. Like, we know he's high level at this. You know, we know he's a warrior. He's been on the whole kickboxing game. He's been doing that. So I don't know what they're making it sound like he just got this, like, this stand-up game. It's like, you think that's going to stop Usman? When has that stopped him so far? He was just beating that boy to pieces in that fight. What are y'all saying? You know what I mean? So that doesn't mean anything. Like, we all know that. Why do you think that most of these champions have wrestling? You know what I mean? Most of these champions are wrestlers. There was a time when almost every male champion we had was a wrestler. You know, when you had DC, Habib, you had, Woodley was there. You had almost every champion had wrestling pedigree at one point. And there's a reason why that is, and it this stats to even show it. It's like you cannot just be a striker and be at the top of these divisions. So I don't know what makes people think unless Leon can really up his game. I don't know how he's gonna be able to beat Usman again, because that was really just like a flash moment. You know what I mean? He gets his respect for it. You still did it. You knocked him out, but I just don't see how you beat him fair and square. I just don't think Leon has the tools to beat Usman. He has it. He would have to really transform to be able to beat Usman and make that happen again.
Yeah, man, I totally agree, man. I just think Usman is definitely the better fighter, the harder hitter, definitely the better wrestler. I think he'll have his head screwed on for every minute that the fight is going on. He won't let himself get caught in a spider web, leaving Florida, leaving wherever they leaving from. But, you know, man, it's just tough, man, that he's always hurt, though. He's always hurt, Keith. Usman stays hurt. And that's an issue, that after every fight he requires some kind of surgery. And how many surgeries can your body take? So, but look, man, we kind of went over. I know you wanted to talk about something. So go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I just want to say, and we'll touch back on that more next time, but I just want to put this out there. Yo, I've mentioned it on the show before, and most of y'all know this. I make music. I am an artist. And I just want to point out that 2022 was an amazing year for me. You know, so shout out, you know, anybody who's listening that has listened before, shout out to my boy Lee, of course, me with my music. Shout out to my guys, my friends that support my music, my family that listens to me. And, you know, like I said, anybody that has listened to this that has checked it out, or anybody that I got on Twitter that maybe doesn't listen but they checked it out, they see my post that checked out my music, I appreciate y'all giving it the time. 2022 was pretty incredible. I mean, I was looking at my artist rap today, you know, the Spotify rap. I was looking at the stats, and I'm just blown away. I mean, I want to say over 50 different countries, you know, as far as listeners. I had a couple people in Japan who streamed my music this past month. I was blown away when I figured that out. I got people listening to me in Japan, bro. Japan. Like, I was blown away when I read that. Over 50 countries. Like I said, my music was streamed for over 2,000 hours. In the year 2022, that blew my mind again. I was like 2,000 hours, bro. That really blew my mind. And it just overall, I wanted to say, yeah, thank you to anybody who has checked out my music. And it was a really big year numbers wise, you know, for my music. Very big year. And well, let me get this in front of me. Even one of my tracks from my album 2 years ago, they said it was played 124 times this year. It's like, and that wasn't even the song. I thought it would have been my song Zone would have been the hit, but all my friends played 124 times in 2022. The song came out 2 years ago. So to imagine that it's still like getting played, you know, pretty regularly is like, that's crazy, man. It's shocking to me. I mean, I had 40,000 streams, you know, 13.4 thousand listeners. Like, that means people are streaming it a lot. It's like me, it's like a quantity over quality over quantity thing. It's like, you know, someone listened to your song one time, but they never listened to it again, versus like someone listened to your song and they listened to it, you know, 5 more times that year, 10 more times they played that song in that year. And then, you know, times that, times 1,000 people. It's like, that's what that's showing. It's like people listen to me, and then those listeners that listen, like I have 13,000 listeners, but they listen 40,000 times. It's like, that means those people are listening, all of them, you know, a couple of times each, you know, people are listening more than once. And that's what really matters a lot to me, is that it's people are, you know, it leaves a mark on people. They want to go back and listen to it again. Like that means a lot to me, man. So shout out to everybody who's listening to me. That's pretty much just what I wanted to say. Lee, thank you for supporting me in this that we do, and my music as well. He's always rocking me and my friends, my family that has supported me with that. Shout out to all y'all. It's, you know, 2,840 saves this year, you know, people that saved my songs. That's amazing. So, you know, like I said, if y'all told me, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, yo, they're going to stream your music for 2,000 hours in 2022, I would have said there's no shot. You know what I mean? I would have said there's no way. But, you know, it's just, it's incredible, man. Shout out to, and last shout out to my boy IRS. He produced my entire album and pretty much almost everything you've even heard from me, he's produced. So shout out to my boy right there. He's my guy. Incredible talent, you know, incredibly talented dude. So shout out to IRS. And that's all I got. You know, I'm gonna leave it with that. I just appreciate everybody who's listening to my songs. It's a really big part of my life. Music is life to me, really. I don't know what I would do without, you know, listening to music on the way into work, the way back, on, you know, tough days, good days, sunny days, summer days, at the beach days. Like, music is just everywhere for me, and that's like, it has a lot of meaning to me in my life. So, you know, shout out to everybody that, you know, supports me enjoying that, and, you know, supports me creating that, because I just love it. So much love to all y'all.
Man, congratulations, bro. That was good to hear, man. You know, man, Keys, man, he's serious about his music, y'all. You know, and it's good that, you know, that people are enjoying your music. You said 2022 was a good year for you. I think 2022 was a good year for a lot of people, man, coming out of the pandemic, finally being able to kind of resume life a little bit, you know, travel and do some things, man. You know, the pandemic made a lot of us put our life in focus and, you know, focus on the things that we like, stop doing the things we don't like, and, you know, embracing the people that support us and get rid of the people that should have never been in your circle. It's hard to let people go in your life, but at the same time, you got to do what's good for you and your mental health and your well-being. That being said, Lee and Key signing out next year. We'll be in episode 300. Who would have thought it? Outside of me and Keys, we knew we was in this for the long run. And we appreciate everybody that listens to our show. We appreciate everybody that's supporting his music. And, man, keep doing what you're doing, bro. And I reached out to Evan, man, checked on him. Evan is doing good. You know, man, he just was on my mind. I just wanted to reach out to him, see how I was doing, because I haven't seen anything from him on Twitter here recently. So, hey, Evan, shout out to you, bro. Keep your head up. Keep making progress every day, man. Me and Keys here for you if you need us. That being said, everybody live your life to the fullest. Hey, ride until the wheels fall off. You get the wheels repaired, get them fixed and ride some more. Lynn Key signing off. As always, we're in the show with a peace.